Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Coming up in 15 minutes, we will get to 5 Good Minutes with former Kansas guard Connor Tian on the rivalry. We're going to be bouncing back and forth between MUKU and the Chiefs all day. So keep it locked in right here at 610 Sports Radio. Today's pop quiz winner won NBA 2K18 for PlayStation 4. Fanning, tell one what today's pop quiz movie was.
It was Old School, man. One of my favorite all-time movies. And the reason we had Old School in that Snoop scene is because Snoop Dogg, is that his name still, man? I'm not hip enough to know this stuff.
He is still Snoop Dogg.
Didn't he change it for a while?
He was Snoop Lion for a little bit, but now he's back to being Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, happy birthday, Snoop Dogg. He is 46 years old today. You think Snoop's old? He's my age, man.
Yeah, Snoop's old.
All right.
Snoop's absolutely old.
Okay, good.
Snoop's still, wearing dreads and smoking weed on stage and still hanging around with young people and rapping? No, Snoop's absolutely too old to be doing all that.
He's got a new show coming out on TBS that looks hilarious. It's called, like, Joker's Wild, I think.
Yeah, I heard about that. I'm not really sure what the concept of the show is, but I have heard of it.
It looks really funny. I saw a preview for it. Happy birthday, Snoop, man.
If you ask Wachowski, I'm surprised that anybody from Death Row has turned themselves successfully into the family guy that Snoop Dogg has turned.
100%.
Snoop Dogg was charged with murder and was on trial for murder, and now he's, like, America's sweetheart. He bakes pies and cobblers.
Out here on potluck dinners with Martha Stewart.
Yeah, he bakes cobblers and stuff. And now we go to parenting advice from Snoop Dogg. Like, it is amazing the transformation that Snoop Dogg and Ice Cube, who had a song called F the Police, has turned into the family man Ice Cube's turned into. It showed you how eventually rap had to evolve and grow.
And nobody
shows that more than those two.
At what point do we just start calling him Calvin? Like, are we ever going to get there with Snoop?
What's his real name anyway?
Calvin Brodus is his name.
Calvin Brodus?
Yep. That is his name.
That'd be a good last name to have. What's up, Brodus?
Like 50, you gotta drop at least the Snoop or the dog.
Yeah, I don't know.
You gotta be one of the two. No, that makes absolutely sense. We'll get to Connor Tian coming up in 15 minutes with 5 Good Minutes with the Kansas guard as we get you ready for MUKU this weekend at Sprint Center. I think there is now an undeniable truth about the Chiefs offense, and I have tried to fight it for long enough. Mm-hmm. If you listen to this show, you know I've tried to fight it, and I've tried to find stats to disprove it.
You know what you are? Hater.
That might be true.
Are you a lover now instead of a hater?
I don't know if I would consider it a lover. I would just say at some point the stats become the stats. We have now seen 7 NFL games. We're almost halfway done through the season. You look up and you're halfway done with the NFL season. The next time we will see the Chiefs play, it will be their 8th game.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Smith is a top 3 quarterback in the NFL. And I don't even know if it's up for debate. Alex Smith is playing at an MVP level. I thought it was just going to be a 3-4 week thing that the other shoe was going to drop. I believe in the transformation finally of Alex Smith. I don't know what happened. I don't know what finally took me 7 weeks to get it. But the quarterback I saw play yesterday, granted it's against Oakland, and I'm not making it seem like Oakland is the 85 Bears defense or the 2000 Ravens. You're still against NFL offenses. 1,979 yards so far this season. 15 touchdown passes. You have as many touchdown passes in 7 games that you had in 15 last season. No interceptions, no fumbles, completing 72% of your passes. Alex Smith is a top 3 quarterback in the NFL. And you can maybe make an argument that right now he's definitive 2. Brady's still 1 to me.
Yeah.
I'd argue Alex Smith, Carson Wentz, you take your pick on who you like. And then you take the other one. Alex Smith is the 2nd best quarterback in the NFL. I don't know how you can deny it right now.
Can you say that again? I just want to hear you say it again.
Alex Smith is the 2nd best quarterback in the NFL.
Oh, man. You know what he should be? You know he should take it to another level. You know what he should do? I think he needs to represent Big Baller Brand. I mean, I think that's what he's become. I mean, I think he's worthy of wearing a $495 pair of cleats.
That's how he's playing right now.
He's a big baller right
now. He's playing like a big baller yesterday. This is why I've always been against quarterback wins. Because yesterday, Alex Smith was not a winner yesterday.
But he played well enough to
win. He played well enough to win yesterday. That loss is not on Alex Smith. I know what the stats say about when the opposition scores more than 24 points.
But you would agree that he gets some wins that maybe he didn't totally deserve.
Of course. Yesterday, the Chiefs looked equipped for the shootout. Alex Smith brought bullets to the shootout. A lot of times when a shootout would break out, he had a butter knife. He had throwing stars. Yesterday, he brought a pistol to
the
shootout.
Like the ninja thing?
Yeah. A lot of times that's what he brings.
I think those would hurt, though.
He had bullets yesterday. He had a gun yesterday in the fight.
Like 50 caliber.
That Derek Carr played fantastic yesterday. But Alex Smith was just as good as him. I mean, Derek Carr, 400 yards, 3 touchdown passes, was carving up the Chiefs' defense. Alex Smith yesterday, again over 70% completion, again didn't turn the ball over, didn't. Alex Smith is the second best quarterback in the NFL. I don't know how you can argue it at this point.
Can I throw two things at you that really have nothing to do with Alex Smith right now that I thought about last night?
Go ahead.
I thought it was really crazy. Not crazy, but I wanted to see how the game was going to be played out when the Raiders were down 9 and they chose to kick a field goal. I wanted to see what was going to happen at the end of the game. And again, it's a completely different game, and it's a different week, and it's a different team and all that stuff. The Chiefs had that opportunity against the Steelers to kick the field goal. Instead, they went for it and didn't. It's a completely different game. I thought it was a funny little side note from that game last night. The other one was the fact that, you know, the last time that the Raiders beat the Chiefs, Derek Carr, late drive, went down the field, ripped their souls out. It happened again. And it has nothing to do with Alex Smith. But I just kept thinking, I'm like, are we going full circle here? Is that the way this thing's going to play out? You got a Raiders team that's lost their last 4, and they're going to drive, and Derek Carr is going to take them down the field again and do this to them like he did in 2014 on Thursday Night Football.
I think what scares Chiefs fans most about this game, as I've heard people making the comparison to the 2003 Chiefs, I don't know if they're that prolific offensively.
I don't think they are.
But they've been pretty good so far offensively. Yeah. Let's see how it continues. That 0-3 team was just magical offensively.
Yeah.
I think what genuinely scares this team, it's like having a basketball team that you know can't shoot free throws. Or it's like having a baseball team.
They're the Memphis Tigers of 2008.
Right? Or it's like having a bullpen that you know isn't very solid. That's what their secondary feels like
right
now.
Man, I hope it doesn't get to that point. I don't know if it's to that point yet, but I know what you're saying.
That you know if your team can't shoot free throws or you know if you got a shaky closer, at some point you're going to need that skill to try to win a game. At some point, the Chiefs are either going to have to get tremendous pressure on the quarterback or they're going to have to defend the pass a lot better than they're doing. And so far this season, against just about every team, they've got cooked in different ways. Whether it was the first game where Danny Amendola had 6 catches for 100 yards, Alshon Jeffrey hit you for 792, Travis Benjamin, 5-105, Vernon Davis, 2 for 89 yards, DeAndre Hopkins, you held him to 4 catches, 3 of them were in the end zone, Antonio Brown last week, 8 for 155, and this week, Amari Cooper hit you for 210, which was the best day in the NFL so far this season by a wide receiver.
He might win an award this week.
He might win Offensive Player of the Week, and Jared Cook hit you for 6-107. So far, the fantasy advice should be play a pass catcher against the Chiefs. Somebody's going to have a good day. And I feel like with the Chiefs, what we've said is to try to justify it is, oh, well, those were garbage time yards. Oh, the Chiefs had the game won. This is every single week, week 1, 2, until last night. If you have a pass catcher against the Chiefs, somebody is going to have a good day that you understand in January. You're going to have to either play New England again or have to play Pittsburgh again. Can you stop their offense? I don't know how you trust the Chiefs to stop Pittsburgh with what we've seen the last 2 times these 3 teams play them. And I understand that you beat New England the last time you saw them. I certainly don't want to play New England in that offense with how they can move the ball against them. You're going to have to at some point be a lot better against the pass than you've been. That's why I said to start the show, the question for the Chiefs, the same question the Patriots are going to have to answer. Can you win a Super Bowl with this defense with how many yards they give up? I think the beauty is every team in the AFC is flawed, but you got to be able to answer that question.
Yeah.
And last night's defense we saw, they give up yards to everybody.
That's why, you know, I'm not going to totally judge them completely on last night's game with a quick turnaround and a beat-up defense and a beat-up team. I think my guess would be is that I think these Thursday night games, they're going to trend high offensively. I mean, I started watching that game, and I'm like, well, okay, this makes total sense now. You got a couple of defense that aren't the best in the first place. They're coming off short weeks. They're a little bit beat up. Of course the offenses are going to tear them up.
When are they not going to be beat up, though? Because
well, I don't know. They got 10 days off before they play the Broncos on Monday night. I mean, it's just, you know, and again, it is.
Who's coming back, though? I mean, I'm just saying.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying when I say beat up, let me clarify that. It's like you're coming off a really hard-fought game against the Pittsburgh Steelers 4 days ago. That's all I'm saying. Like, you're not the same, man. Your legs aren't right. You're still sore. You're working that stuff out. And you're in the second game of what I consider to be the toughest stretch of games in the season. I'm not giving – I'm not putting excuses out there for the Chiefs or anything. I'm just saying the defense that you saw last night, you absolutely can't win a Super Bowl with. But I don't necessarily think that's the Chiefs' defense, all right? I mean, they played tough against Pittsburgh.
I think it's a pretty big part of the Chiefs' defense. I would say I do think we know this about the Chiefs. If the Chiefs are not forcing turnovers like they did throughout the last three seasons,
yeah.
Man, it's going to be tough for you to get stops. Which what the Chiefs used to do in their bend but don't break defense, it used to be, all right, we'll let you move the ball, we'll let you move the ball, but Marcus Peters is going to get a turnover. It's going to be, you can move the ball, you can move the ball, but Eric Berry's going to force a fumble, or Justin Houston's going to force a fumble. Man, if you're not getting pressure like the Chiefs were yesterday, where they were not getting pressure on Derek Carr, if you're not going to force a turnover, which they didn't yesterday, then this secondary is not stopping anybody.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to throw for 300 yards and some receiver's going to have that. I hear you when you talk about this team being banged up.
Yeah.
And they weren't banged up against Danny Amendola that they couldn't stop.
Yeah.
They weren't banged up against the Eagles where Ashon Jeffrey or Travis Benjamin that we've just used different logic for every single time. Eric Berry's not coming back, and I'm not going to treat Tamba Hali and Steven Nelson like these guys are going to join the defense, and all of a sudden you're just going to transform into Denver. You're always going to be able to move the ball against the Chiefs defense.
Yeah, I mean, they've got to adjust. I mean, they can't play so much man coverage. I thought what Sam Monson said yesterday on the show was terrific. That when you play a bunch of man defense, teams can run the football on you because you've got so many defensive backs with their back turned to the play that's going on because they're covering route runners. They've got to adjust something. Absolutely. I'm just not going to judge – everything on what I saw last night defensively, just because of the short turnaround. I mean, I think my guess would be when we're going forward, the trend on Thursday Night Football is going to be high-scoring games from here on out. Because defenses, it's much easier for a wide receiver to be at 100% 3 days later than it is a linebacker or a safety. So the Chiefs have to get better. I mean, I'm not making an excuse for them because last night was bad. They had opportunity after opportunity. Their offense put up 30 points, and they still couldn't hold it.
Coming up in just a bit, 5 good minutes with former Kansas guard Connor Tien, and life sometimes has a funny way of evening out. Talking Chiefs and MUKU all day right here on The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Dos Equis from the MVP Electric Heating and Cooling Studios, 610 Sports Radio.
During the next commercial break, you will hear this sounder.
I'm going to come at you like a spider monkey.
When you hear that sounder, that is your last chance to win NASCAR tickets for the weekend. I know you love your racing. Well, this is your opportunity to head out to Kansas Speedway.
I'm going to come at you like a spider monkey.
When you hear that during the next commercial break, we'll also talk to Bill Moss coming up at 3:30 as we get back into Chiefs and Raiders. But first, 5 good minutes with former Kansas guard Connor Tien. Connor, how's it going today, man?
I am doing well. How about yourself?
Doing fantastic. Let's just start with this. What was it like to hear that the rivalry is going to be renewed in some aspect this Sunday at Sprint Center?
Shocked. I was very surprised when I found out. In fact, I thought it was a joke at first, but definitely excited to see the matchup.
Growing up here in Kansas City, you played at Rockhurst High School. What was it like to grow up around the rivalry and obviously be invested on one side of it and then to eventually play in that rivalry?
I mean, so much fun, so much passion behind the rivalry. Definitely something that has you miss that passion or you don't see it around as much because of the fact that we don't play anymore. So I know that it was always an exciting game and always one that you had a friend who was taking the opposing side. So a lot of passion that went into it and always a fun matchup.
Being a player on Kansas, which of the rivalries meant more to you in your time in the Big 12? Was it the rivalry against Missouri, Kansas State, or Iowa State that of the last 5 to 7 years has definitely developed into a fun back and forth between Iowa State fans and KU fans?
Yeah, it was definitely KU-MU. I mean, and anybody that played on the team during the times I did, at KU-MU, that's the game with the most bad blood, and that's the one that the fans care about the most. The Iowa State game has become relevant lately. It's always been a tough matchup, but in terms of real pure hatred, I mean, KU-MU.
Right now, talking to former Kansas guard Connor Tien on The Drive. Let's just start with that first matchup back in 2011 in Mizzou Arena. Have you played in an opposing gym as loud and as obnoxious as that Missouri crowd was that day?
No, that specific day. There were some great crowds at K-State, but that particular game, knowing that it would be the last time we were going to play them before going our separate directions, that crowd was very involved, and they were there early. And they made themselves heard.
What was the feeling like, I guess, as a KU player kind of going into that game? I remember the feeling as a Missouri fan. I was at that game, and the belief was, man, we can't let KU win the last time in this building. They won the last time at Hearn Center, as you remember. We can't let KU have the one-up in the final game in Mizzou Arena.
Yeah, and we feel the same. I mean, we want to win that last game there. So probably all the feelings that you would have as a Mizzou fan or Mizzou player, we would have the exact opposite in the sense that we don't want them to have any bragging rights. We wanted to sweep the series on the year and come in and show that we could go into a hostile environment and come out with a victory.
And then, Connor, let's not forget the Thomas Robinson, very out of control, coming through the lane. Steve Moore holding his ground takes a very legitimate charge there. I mean, there is certainly no controversy about that one.
There's no controversy about that one as much as there's no controversy about Thomas throwing pressing stuff out there at the end of the game, right?
No, absolutely. You're talking to Connor Tien on the drive for a couple more minutes. I don't want to talk about the block. You're only going to upset me. What is that moment like whenever you guys finally win? Thomas is popping his jersey. Self is as emphatic as I've ever seen him before.
Yeah.
And you realize that you pulled off one of the greatest comebacks in Allen Fieldhouse history, and that was one of the greatest basketball games in Big 12 and college basketball history.
Yeah, so none of those thoughts are going through your head. It's just pure emotion, just so happy. And, I mean, just looking at your teammates and knowing that, hey, we just fought through some serious stuff and we didn't give up on each other. And I think when you go back in that locker room, it just makes you have that much more respect and be that much more entrenched in that relationship that is the team.
Connor, we can go ahead. I know I've asked you this before, but every time we talk, I will ask you this question. You can admit that was a foul at the end of the game, right?
I cannot admit that it was a foul. He let go of the ball, so he threw it out. And if you, I think it ended up just the way it should have. And, hey, that was not a charge on Thomas Robinson. And Tyshawn Taylor got hacked when he was dribbling the ball up the court. And there, I think, played possession after it. But Missouri got the win in Columbia. We got the win in Lawrence. And I don't think anybody can complain too much about that.
See, Connor, that's the part that always upsets me about the game is I can admit that the ref shouldn't have called a foul on Thomas at the end of the game with the block. But that call to put Tyshawn on the line that eventually hits the game-winning free throws, that's a ticky-tack foul. And at that point, a very physical and emotional game.
No, hey, I can see where you're coming from on that. But, hey, that's why you play the game, right? The human error, and maybe it was an error on the referee's part, but – whenever you put yourself in a position, you could make the case that Missouri should never let us get that close again, right? I mean, that one play is amplified, but if they would have maybe executed on several other things earlier on, that would never happen.
No, you're right. I mean, I still think back to that game. Michael Dixon, he just didn't seem to know how much time was left on the clock. MU doesn't even get a final shot up. Certainly very frustrating.
It went in, though.
No, it did. I know. And that will haunt me for the rest of my life. Last question here with former Kansas guard Connor Tien. Do you want these two teams to play every year at Sprint Center going forward?
You know, I do personally. I completely understand where the Kansas side is coming from. But I love the rivalry. And that's just because, I mean, I grew up with it. You know what it's like. And we want to see these things. We want to be able to say, hey, we won or we lost or played you well or whatever it is. I'm just as a fan, I love the MUKU. It just doesn't, the Big 12 just doesn't seem the same without not only MU, but I mean A&M and Colorado and those other teams. So I just wish we could go back to the way it used to be.
Connor Tien, former Kansas guard, friend of mine, unfortunately, because he's a KU fan. But you know what? I'll look past it. Connor, always enjoy talking to you, man. Thanks a lot.
Yep. Have a good one.
There aren't many people on that side of the state that I would refer to as a friend. So I say that with a little bit reluctancy when it comes to especially someone that played actually on the team.
So you like two things in Kansas, Connor Tien and Cinetopia.
Basically. I mean, Connor's my guy. I like Connor.
That's the only two things that you like.
That's
man.
It. I'm really struggling to figure out what the rest of the things are that I would end up liking over there. There isn't many. There's not many things I would say are very pleasant over there on that side of the state line. But
they do have the Great Wolf Lodge.
Oh,
very nice.
That is pretty nice. Hey, they got a nice water park over there.
They do have a nice water park. They have multiple nice water parks.
Soccer stadium too. You got a racetrack because I know you're a NASCAR guy.
NASCAR's actually not that bad if you go.
No,
now
it's
awful
fantastic
to watch on television, but if you actually go, it's not that bad. I went to one NASCAR event. I actually had a good time when I went.
Did you?
I only had a good time for about 30 minutes. I was like, all right, hey, I've seen them kind of drive around. How much longer you got a couple more hours to go. No, I'm out of here. I'm ready to go. I don't really have too much of an interest in this. We'll talk to Bill Moss here in a couple of minutes. I wanted to play this cut for you really quickly because life sometimes has a very weird way of evening itself out.
Third and 12. Got to get to the 49 for a first. They protect him. Smith unloads it, and it's caught off the deflection by Wilson for the touchdown.
Think back to it. Earlier this season against the Philadelphia Eagles, remember the play where Zach Ertz, the ball bounced in the air, and then Zach Ertz catches it and has the long catch? Mm-hmm. Remember last week against the Pittsburgh Steelers?
We all remember that play to Antonio Brown.
Yeah. At some point, it evens out. Sports has a funny way of doing that. The ball should have been either tipped or picked off or tipped and batted down. Like, Albert Wilson's not supposed to score a touchdown. The Oakland player is there. Guy just didn't make a play. Ball gets tipped up in the air. Easy touchdown. Walk in. He does a little bit of Deion Sanders as he strolls in there.
He did.
Sometimes, whenever we say those 50-50 balls, the 50% goes to the other team, but sometimes the 50% comes to you.
I think about 80% of those 50% balls went to the other team last night, if you have to ask me. That one did not.
That one was in the Chiefs' favor. I would say the 50-50 calls were not in your favor. The 50-50 balls were actually, I mean, this team had a two-possession lead in the fourth quarter. I mean, you certainly had numerous opportunities to go out there and take care of business and win that game, and you didn't do it. We'll talk to Bill Moss about last night's game. Is Bob Sutton the problem with the defense? We'll ask the former Chiefs defensive lineman next on The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Dos Equis, from the MVP Electric Heating and Cooling Studios, 610 Sports Radio.
Billy Bob, Billy Bob, Billy Bob, Billy Bob, Billy Bob, Billy Bob.
Bill Moss.
Danny does not have the Chiefs making playoffs. Go ahead and call him that name you call him.
Debbie Downer.
Danny Downer, Bill. You're not in midseason form either.
Former Chiefs defensive tackle.
They're just hoping that some light bulb comes on someplace, that something snaps and he gets it.
On Twitter at Bill Moss.
It's going to be on the defensive backs. They've got to match up with this talent.
President of the KC Chiefs Ambassadors.
To achieve the goal of getting this team to where it should be and it needs to be. And that's what I'm most excited about.
Bill Moss.
In a jar, there was this liquid, and there was a tiger's penis.
On the Drive.
Heisler leaves and the whole operation just completely falls apart. You play in the old open? Heist spent all that time to update the open, and that's how you're going to disrespect the great name of a Benny Heist?
He should update his hotkey page on here.
Hey, Witkowski, you know that I've been like on the show for almost a year now, right?
I thought you sounded different in that open. But
yeah, it's not. I know some people call me Fanny, but never Danny. So there.
Bill Moss is on the phone line right now. He is brought to you by 7th Street Casino and also MVP Electric Heating and Cooling. Billy Bob, how are you doing today, man?
Well, you guys, you're showing up like the Raiders game last night, huh?
I mean, just Heist. I don't know how many friends Heisler at least once a month leaves to go to somebody's wedding or some Jewish holiday. Like, I might convert to Judaism just because, hell, every month he can just take off because of some holiday.
You can still celebrate, too, like the regular New Year and the Jewish New Year. So you get, like, double the holidays.
I know.
And Fanning gets both. You know, he's like the he's like the child with two adopted families. Christmas is. He celebrates everything.
Well, yeah, I mean,
whatever the holiday is, he's on it.
And I'm a short, little, angry Irish guy, so like the only holiday I get is St. Paddy's Day. That's it. Bill, what'd you make
How's
of that?
Going?
Good, man. What'd,
I don't know.
What'd you make of
crazy,
that, man?
Crazy. It was crazy. Do you know, there's something about the Raiders games. If you go back through history and think about the Raiders, right, all the craziest games in NFL history are all with the Raiders, right?
Yeah.
From the Holy Roller play to the Fumble Rooski to the Tuck Rule, all those were rule changes to that crazy game last night. Every time the Raiders get on the field, it's just something nuts, isn't it? Going forward, you know, for two on the last play of the game, it's just always something crazy. That's a Raiders game.
Are you in the camp of the official screw the Chiefs last night? I'm not, but what did
It was fun banter because here's the deal, and this is the truth, okay? So that officiating crew had a Sunday night game too, okay?
No, that's a good point, yeah.
And they have to stay over because they don't get flights out because they have to review their tapes with the supervisor after the game's now, remember? So they're on a short deal too, and those guys get time to watch tapes of other teams and other games and other crews and who they got this coming up this week. So they're on a short week too. So they don't get the time to indulge into both teams and what to expect and who they're going to play and get a good feel because everybody plays the game different and you need to have a sense of that. And it was clear to me that crew didn't have a sense of either one of these two teams on how they played because you know, the flag came out so much for so many different reasons. It was like, come on, guys. And now, could you call those plays? Yeah, but sometimes you just got to let the plays play because that's part of the game. It would be like calling a holding play on every offensive run or pass. You know, they're there. Just look at it.
Hey,
but,
Bill.
But you don't.
Bill, this is a dumb question. You may not even have the answer to it. You said they had to stay over. Is that the same crew that called the Raiders game on Sunday?
I don't mean they stayed over in there.
Okay.
No, I don't believe it was the same crew. When on Sundays after the games, you know, they stay and they go back in their room, in the officiating room, and they look at tape with the supervisor, and they go over the game real quickly and see how they did and talk about things and review things, and they get graded on it too. You know, they get graded on it during the week. So you can't always just count on making a flight back home and then turning around and getting out on a Wednesday for a Thursday game. It's a real short week. And so your study time's cut down on who you're looking at in the teams and how they play the game.
I bet that was a long meeting last night after that game, man. Holy smokes.
Yeah. I don't think they made it back till sometime today. Yeah, that was crazy. It was just a wild game. And there were so many things to look at in the game. There were so many positives. And there were so many negatives. You know, it's one of those games you could talk about forever.
No, you're right, Bill. We're talking to Bill Moss right now on the drive. He's brought to you by 7th Street Casino and also MVP Electric and Heating and Cooling. I think we all agree on what the positives were. Alex Smith has turned into a top five quarterback in the NFL, and this offense was certainly not the problem yesterday. I want to talk to you about the defense as a former defensive lineman. Let's just start from the top. Is Bob Sutton the problem with the defense?
No. And I go back, and I said this back when Greg Robinson was here, too. Defense isn't a scheme, guys. Defense is a mentality. I mean, tackling, you have to want to tackle and do the things. And in every defense you play, sometimes you're in a position where you're at a disadvantage if some things occur, you know. For instance, if you're single safety high, and that's what the defense is called, and that's what you're playing, and they're throwing it deep out. Well, that safety's got to get over to the sideline before that ball gets there. And so defensive line, the linebackers, I can give you 100 different scenarios of you know, when a defense is called, you line up, and it's going to be an advantage for some players and a disadvantage for some plays for other players. And you have to be able to cover up those weaknesses. And so I go back to what I say. I mean, defense isn't a scheme. You know, defense is something you have to do. You have to want to do. And this would look like a tired group to me, you know, to be honest with you. I thought they looked tired. Penalties happen in basketball just like they do football. When you're tired and your feet stop moving, and then you start using your hands, and you grab, and you put them up, and you do things. I mean, that's when you're tired. And I saw a tired team, and I was talking to Neil Smith about this today. I mean, same way with the pass rush. They look tired.
I was going to ask you about the pass rush. We can go there. I remember a conversation you and I had this offseason. We were kind of talking about how a couple years ago, outside linebacker was the clear strength of this team, and it's not right now. How can a guy as talented as Justin Houston be neutralized in a game like that? And where is everybody else? Where's D Ford? Where's Frank Zombo? Why were they not active in that game in rushing the passer?
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, their line, their offensive line did a better job than we did. And, you know, a lot of people want to talk about, you know, Justin Houston about dropping. Really, he's only dropping about, you know, 24-25%, less than a quarter percent. And, you know, his position is outside linebacker, folks. It's not defensive end. And you have to understand that. So, you know, there's when you run a 3-4 scheme, your outside linebacker at times is going to be asked to drop. You can't always bring that same guy. Now, that being said, you certainly want to try to get him rushing more than he drops. We played a 34 a couple seasons with Derek Thomas, and he was an outside linebacker. And Bill Cowher always said, "Hey, you know, we have to make sure he's rushing more than he's dropping." And Derek really didn't like to drop into coverage too much, and it was a challenge for him because his mind just wasn't wrapped around it. That being said, Houston does a pretty doggone good job of covering the back out of the backfield. So, yeah, you want to see him rush more than he is dropping. But at the same time, if you're going to run a 34, that's part of running a 34. I mean, it's a deception to the quarterback, and it's the deception to the offensive blocking scheme, and that's why you run a 3-4 defense.
Bill, yesterday the Chiefs had a bad combination of not forcing turnovers, not having a pass rush, and a bad secondary. How do you hide the secondary? Because I felt like at the beginning of the season, we at least knew what the game plan was. Don't throw towards Marcus Peters' side. Throw at Terrence Mitchell. Throw at Phillip Gaines. Throw at Steven Nelson. Throw at everybody else. That's exactly what's happened the last couple of weeks. How do you remedy that?
Yeah, well, you know, I can remember a couple of years back, and I think Eric Berry got hurt, and we had to bring some guys in, and we had a young corner out there, the same thing. And so we went through ups and downs and some bumps in the road as they got unveiled a little bit. Who was the guys? Who was the young corner we drafted? Thought he was going to make a difference. He had started off with like two picks, and everybody thought he was going to be great. Then by game three or four, he started getting lit up. Do you remember?
You're talking about Marcus Cooper, maybe? The guy they picked?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, he was. Yep. I think they picked him off the scrap heap. Yeah, he was
right.
Waiver wire pickup was Cooper.
So we went through some ups and downs with that. And but you saw as the year went on, look, you're going to they see each time they're out there, they're learning. You know, you're not losing when you have those things. You're learning. And it's important. So through the course of the season, they're going to get better and better. And we've seen it the last couple of years. Now, you know, I've talked to you guys before going into the season when you said, what's your biggest concern? I said, our defense. I mean, there's a lot of concern there. And, you know, not just, you know, the secondary aspect of it, but the linebacker aspect of it, both inside linebackers and the other outside linebacker position.
Let me ask you this, Bill, real quick. Like how – I mean, the Chiefs got no hits on the quarterback, none last night. How rare is that?
Yeah, that's pretty rare. It's not like, you know, this guy was just three steps and was coming out real quick. I mean, he had some time, and so that's not a good thing. And again, I go back and I say this looked like a tired team to me.
Yeah.
You know, you have to want to play defense. Defense is all about. Listen, the other 11 guys on the field on the offense, they know the play. They know the snap count, and they know where you're going. They're going. The 11 guys on defense know none of those things. So you've got to be able to react and hustle faster and cover up and make up and then get to the ball and tackle. All those things are about emotion and aggression. That's how defense is played. And I didn't see those things last night.
So, Bill, let me ask you this, because it sounds like you don't think there's some technical fix. If Bob Sutton called you tomorrow and said, hey, Bill, I got a question about the defense. How do I fix it? What would your answer to him be?
Oh, it's the guys that got to fix it. The guys have to fix it. And then the worst thing that can happen, and this happened with Greg Robinson too, the worst thing that can happen if this starts, oh, you got to play a different scheme. You have to play a better scheme. And that filters into the locker room, and the guys don't even understand a scheme. But if they have something to hang their hat off, not my fault, it's a scheme. You know, that's a scary thing, too. You have to be real careful of that, because it's not the scheme. I mean, you've got to be able to step up and play, and these guys have to do it. It's on them. I don't care. You can run a 4-3, 3-4, and I don't care what you run. Defense is played. You've got to beat the guy in front of you, and he has everything that you don't have. The play, the snap count, and knows where he's going. There's only one way to beat that. A scheme isn't going to be able to make you beat that.
That's Bill Moss. He's brought to you by 7th Street Casino, also MVP Electric Heating and Cooling. Bill, appreciate the time. Thanks a lot for coming on today, man.
Have a good one, guys.
Thanks, dude.
That's Bill Moss joining us on The Drive. Bill, not putting the onus on the coaching staff to do it, thinks they have the talent and the players to fix it right there. We'll get into that. Plus, the best of the rest. Other guys had good games than just Alex Smith, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce. We talk about those guys. And former KU player Calvin Thompson joins us in studio at 4 o'clock to get into the rivalry. Talking Chiefs, talking MU and KU all day on The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Dos Equis from the MVP Electric Heating and Cooling Studios, 610 Sports Radio.
Oh, it's the guys that got to fix it. The guys have to fix it. And then the worst thing that can happen, and this happened with Greg Robinson too, the worst thing that can happen if this starts, oh, you got to play a different scheme. You have to play a better scheme. And that filters into the locker room, and the guys don't even understand a scheme. But if they have something to hang their hat on, not my fault, it's a scheme. You know, that's a scary thing, too. You have to be real careful of that.
That was Bill Moss, who just joined us. He's not blaming the scheme. A lot of fans are blaming the scheme. I do think that is a crutch that people use. If your offense is struggling, let's blame the offensive coordinator. If the defense is struggling, let's blame the scheme and the system. I do agree with Bill Moss that more of the onus is on the players. I just don't know secondary-wise if they're going to be able to do it, if they're not going to get a consistent pass rush. I think we knew at the beginning of the season that the Chiefs' corners were going to have challenges and struggles throughout the course of the season. The expectation was you were going to have a good enough pass rush that was going to create pressure, that was going to wreak havoc and get in the backfield. You didn't do that yesterday.
Yeah.
You allowed Derek Carr to pick your defense apart, that if you're going to allow Derek Carr with those weapons to target Amari Cooper 16 times as he did yesterday, Terrence Mitchell, Phillip Gaines, Steven Nelson, once he gets back, you are not slowing down an offense that has the firepower that Oakland does if they're going to operate the way they were yesterday. They had a clear plan yesterday after Marshawn went out. We're going to throw the ball against the Chiefs, and we don't think they can stop it. Our quarterback's not going to get touched. He's going to stay upright, and we're just going to pick who we want to throw the ball to. One guy had 200 yards. Their tight end had over 100 yards. They didn't have an answer for anything in the Raiders passing game yesterday.
Yeah, and the other thing that Bill said, too, I've been using the term beat up when I talk about this Chiefs team. I think I'm going to defer to Bill on that. He said they look tired, which to me makes sense. You're 7 weeks into an NFL season and playing a Thursday night game after a Sunday game. But still, man, there's not any excuses in the NFL. You got to get it done. And the Chiefs didn't get it done anywhere last night on defense.
And they had a chance still with everything that we're talking about with the team. They had a two-possession lead in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Man, you got to find a way to win. I don't want to hear about the officials. I don't want to hear about Steven Nelson being out. I don't want to hear about Eric Berry. This team was up 30-21 in the fourth quarter of that football game.
And had the football with like 4:30 to go in the game.
You got
to
find a way to win.
Absolutely.
I don't know how you do it. You got to find a way to win. You got to find a way to scratch and claw at those kind of games. Those were the games that the Chiefs were finding a way to scratch and claw. Now, everything evens out in the NFL, and eventually what goes up must come down. But you got to find a way to scratch and claw and win that game when you're up 9 points in the fourth quarter, and this team just didn't do it yesterday.
No, they didn't, and they have to, man. I'll cut them a little bit of slack on that defense last night. They've got 10 days off. They better come out and look sharp on Monday Night Football against the Broncos.
You always talk to me about, we don't spend a lot of time talking about X, Y, and Z guy. It'll be Dustin Colquitt. I know we don't talk about punters, but we got to talk about the punter yesterday. Yeah. Harrison Butker missed his first NFL kick.
Oldbuttkicker.com.
And I know people were a little bit on edge and a little bit nervous about it. He's now made his last 13 kicks. Man, it just goes to show you how quickly things change in the NFL. Cairo Santos was solid. We were looking at it like, man, you got a good kicker here in Cairo Santos. He gets a groin injury. He's on the IR. They bring in this kicker. They then cut Cairo Santos.
Bye, Cairo.
He's not on an NFL team right now. Harrison Butker looks like the hot new kicking thing in the NFL.
Well, the other thing with him, too, I don't remember a kick of his being returned. Seriously. Like, his field goals have been terrific, man. He just hits bullets. There was a camera angle last night on the broadcast behind his kickoff, and he hit sort of a line drive. And, man, that thing was a knuckleball. Not only was it, like, out of the end zone, that thing was switching directions like four or five different times. I mean, he's been phenomenal.
One guy I thought could be an X factor in yesterday's game ended up being an X factor in the game. DeMarcus Robinson, coming into the game, he had 41 career receiving yards. He had 69 yesterday. He was a big part of the Chiefs offense. That just shows me the beauty of this offense and the beauty of Andy Reid. I know people might be really high on Chris Conley. Man, there's no difference between Chris Conley some weeks and Albert Wilson and DeMarcus Robinson. Man, they have a scheme that gets guys open. DeMarcus Robinson wasn't involved in the Chiefs' offense. They were not using him up until this week when they had to use him, when injuries finally kicked into this team. That Albert Wilson, you wasn't sure if he was going to play, so they just shifted everybody over. And DeMarcus Robinson, 5 catches for 69 yards and 8 targets. Man, the pieces on this team, and I think what makes Andy Reid's offense so beautiful, and you certainly saw it in Philadelphia outside of the year they had T.O., man, wide receiver, for the most part, just doesn't seem to matter in his system. That they can do it with Freddie Mitchell. They can do it with DeMarcus Robinson. They can do it with Chris Conley. They can do it with Tyreek Hill. That it is a system and a scheme to get guys open and put them in situations to make plays.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to seeing what DeMarcus Robinson does in the, you know, down the, you know, for the rest of the season. You know, coming in, you know, we had to fill in, and he was activated for last week's game. Maybe, I can't remember if he's on the practice squad before that or not, but, you know, he looked a little bit out of place. He got reps with the ones leading up to this game, and now he's going to get 10 days to get ready for that Bronco game. So I am really excited to see what he's going to do. I mean, when he's getting legitimate reps instead of being on the scout team in practice.
Coming up in 2 minutes, former KU player Calvin Thompson joins us in studio to talk about the rivalry and his time playing under Ted Owens and Larry Brown. Calvin Thompson next on The Drive.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.